If you want to be blessed, you need to start coming to Sunday school. John has just started a couple of weeks ago in the book of Genesis, and we talk about creation and what our God has done. And not, you know, you think it's something that God knows the names of the stars. That blows your mind. But to think about the fact that God sees and knows the hearts of every human being. That's a mighty God, isn't it? That's something. Don't let that terrify you. It humbles you. And it makes you want to worship and praise the Lord for who He is and what He's done. Well, our scripture reading this morning, as you're standing getting tired, is Deuteronomy 19. You say, well, that's kind of a faraway place, isn't it? Well, it relates to what we're looking at today. Deuteronomy 19, verses 15 through 21. And here we read, "One witness shall not rise up against a man for any iniquity or wrong, or for any sin, in any sin that he sinneth. At the mouth of two witnesses, or at the mouth of three witnesses, shall the matter be established. If a false witness rise up against any man to testify against him that which is wrong, then both the men between whom the controversy is shall stand before the Lord, before the priests, the judges, which shall be in those days. And the judges shall make diligent inquisition. And behold, if the witness be a false witness and hath testified falsely against his brother, then shall you do unto him as he had thought to have done unto his brother. So shalt thou put away the evil from among you, and those which remain shall hear and fear, and shall henceforth commit sin no more, and shall commit no more any such evil among you. And thine eye shall not pity, but life shall go for life, eye for eye, tooth for tooth, hand for hand, foot for foot." What would our country be like if in our courts they followed this guideline? Let's look to the Lord in prayer, shall we? Heavenly Father, we're thankful that we can be here today. We thank you for your purposes for each and every one of our lives, and I thank you that each one made the choice today to come to church. We thank you and we praise you for it. We pray, Lord, that you would minister to our hearts through the truth of your word. We just read something in the laws of old that certainly would make a difference if it were followed. Even Moses, as he recorded your words, said, if you do this, others will hear and fear, and it would put an end to some of the evil among them. Lord, we pray today we would have open ears to the truth that you have for us regarding a false witness that speaketh lies. It's one of the things you hate the most, Lord. And I pray that you would grant us understanding. And I pray that each of us might recognize the importance of speaking the truth. We ask, Lord, that you would just be with each one. May we go away from here saying it's been good to have been in the house of the Lord. We commit this to you. In your name we pray. Amen. And you may be seated. We have been looking in recent Sundays, like John, he said it's kind of like we're just starting all over, as there were a couple of Sundays he didn't have his class, been a couple of Sundays I didn't have the pulpit, and yet we are not through with the things that God hates on the basis of Proverbs chapter 6, verses 16 through 19. These six things doth the Lord hate, yea, seven are an abomination unto him: a proud look, a lying tongue, hands that shed innocent blood, an heart that deviseth wicked imaginations, feet that be swift in running to mischief. Those are the five that we have looked at in previous Sundays. Today, we pick up the sixth of these seven. And here at the beginning of verse 19, we discover that it is a false witness that speaketh lies. Now, some might question, what is the difference between number two, a lying tongue, and number six, a false witness that speaketh lies? You know, a lying tongue many times affects only the liar and no one else. Did you steal that candy? No. That's a liar when they have stolen it and eaten it. But a false witness that speaketh lies can mean the difference between life and death. In a court of law, the difference between gain or loss, innocence or guilt, harm or injury. Because a false witness that speaketh lies is speaking lies that affects someone else, where a lying tongue is just, they lie to cover what they did. They don't want to admit to it. But they're not making accusations, bringing charges against another. So hopefully you can see the difference between two and six. Scripture has much to say about false witnesses, both in the Old Testament and in the New. Does anyone know what the ninth commandment is? Care to venture a guess? Thou shalt not bear false witness against thy neighbor. Exodus chapter 20, Deuteronomy chapter 5. It's a big deal to God. One of the original Ten Commandments. They were commanded, be aware of this and don't do it. Well, let's consider our word witness. Don't be a false witness. Do We understand this word witness, don't we? Scripturally, if you look at a thesaurus or a concordance, you'll discover that the word witness in our verse here in Proverbs comes from a word which means to duplicate or report. To duplicate, say it again, repeat, report what took place. In our day, we understand it as one, a witness is one who can verify a fact or an event because they have personal knowledge of it. In court cases, the testimony of a witness is always sought. The prosecutor is always looking for, so is the defense lawyer. Is there any witness that can justify these charges? Is there someone who saw it, heard it, was there, and can say, yes, Your Honor, I solemnly swear, I saw him do such and such. The defense lawyer is always looking for witnesses who can also testify and say, Your Honor, I was there and Mr. or Mrs. So-and-so did not do such and such because I was there. I saw it. I can confirm or deny such and such. You see, as we think about what this word witness means, a false witness can't duplicate or report an event. Why? Because they don't know. They didn't see it. They didn't hear it. And that's what our word witness means. It comes from a word which means to duplicate or repeat. A false witness has come up with something which is not true. They don't know what they're talking about. And because they're speaking lies here, a false witness that speaks lies, you've got a real reliable source, don't you? If you're dealing with a false witness. Before we look at some of the problems connected with such a person, let's take a moment and consider some basic things about our God. Remember, a false witness that speaketh lies is one of the seven most hated things as far as our God is concerned, according to Proverbs 6, 16 through 19. So let's think about some basic truth with regard to our God. Turn with me, if you would, to John chapter 3, verse 33. John chapter 3, verse 33. And here, why would God have such a hatred against a false witness that speaks lies? Because the thing that John teaches us here is this: he hath received his testimony, hath set to his seal that God is what? God is what? God is true. He's not false. You don't need to turn to it. Note takers, just jot it down. I'll read it for you. 1 John chapter 5, verse 20. We know that the Son of God is come and hath given us an understanding that we may know him that is true, even in his Son, and we are in him that is true, even in his Son, Jesus Christ. This is the true God and eternal life. So the first thing that we want to just call our attention to with regard, why would God have such a hatred against a false witness? Because God has nothing to do with that which is false. God is true. Secondly, or B, in Psalm 119, verse 160, we read this, 119, 160. It says, thy word is true from the beginning, and every one of thy righteous judgments endureth forever. In John 17, verse 17, sanctify, set them apart through your truth. Your word is truth. So the second thing, or B, with regard to God, God is true. And the second thing that we notice, his word is true. He hates that which is false. It is totally against his character and his nature. Not only is he true and his word true, but in Psalm 19:9, we discover thirdly that his judgments are true. In other words, everything God does is true. Psalm 19:9, the fear of the Lord is clean, enduring forever. The judgments of the Lord are true and righteous altogether. His decisions, his actions are always true. In Revelation 15, verse 3, note takers, I read this. It tells us, and they sang the song of Moses, the servant of God, and the song of the Lamb, saying, great and marvelous are thy works, Lord God Almighty, just and true are your ways, thou King of saints. God is true, his word is true, and everything he does is true. It's no surprise to discover in Psalm 51:6, that God desires truth of his own, of those who belong to him. In Psalm 51:6, the psalmist says, behold, you desire truth in the inward parts, and in the hidden part thou shalt make me know wisdom. And we could add much more, but I think we get the picture here. Why does God have such a hatred? It is totally against his character, totally against his nature. God has nothing to do with that which is false or untrue, because he is true, his word is true. Every decision he ever makes, his judgments, the determinations are always true, and consequently, If you know the Lord as your own personal Savior, you know what He expects of you and me. Guess what? Truth. But what's our sixth thing that God so hates today in Proverbs 6? A false witness that speaketh lies. A false witness that speaketh lies. Having said that, let's look at the problems or damage caused by a false witness. The problems or damage that can be caused by a false witness. A, in Proverbs 19:20, we discover, it says, 1928. Didn't quite make that bottom loop big enough. It looked like a zero at first, but there is a little loop on the bottom. Proverbs 19:28. An ungodly witness scorneth judgment or justice, and the mouth of the wicked devoureth iniquity. What's the problem? What's here? Here we find Solomon is telling us the false witness has no concern whether it's right or wrong, whether it's truth or lies. Why? Because a false witness has no integrity of character. Somebody that's going to lie about someone, no integrity. And it says here, an ungodly witness scorneth or has no regard for whether or not this is right. What do they care? B, Proverbs 25, verse 18. To that we add, a man that beareth false witness against his neighbor is a maul and a sword and a sharp arrow. What is a maul? It's a club. And we see here, Solomon says that someone who bears false witness against their neighbor, their testimony can cause harm or injury in one of several ways. Their words can be like someone being clubbed to death. Their words can be like someone using a sword, that you're not clubbing them to death, but a sword can do what to the person? You can come along and you can let the air out of them, do the harm with them. And a sharp sword is a very dangerous weapon, isn't it? And Proverbs Solomon says their words, they don't have to be, you know, in order to effectively use a maul or a club, you have to be what? Close by, right? And sometimes those words, I mean, they're right to your face, and oh man, it can be just like somebody clubbing you over the head with the lies that they're saying. But a sword, you don't have to be quite so close. You can just come along and you can let them have it that way. Lastly, their words can be like a what? Sharp arrow. What's that? Do you go around with an arrow in your hand and go No, you take a bow, and from a great distance, you can do harm to one with your words. Because arrows can be deadly. And some of you bow hunters know we've had the joy in previous years, haven't we? Of bringing home the deer because we scored from a distance with those arrows, and they're deadly. They're deadly if they're well placed. Let me give you an example of this very thing. Turn with me, if you would, to 1 Kings chapter 21. And I want to show you how dangerous false words can be. 1 Kings 21. I'm taking you now to the time of Ahab and Jezebel, some of the best characters in the Old Testament. King Ahab was a wicked, wicked king. And Jezebel, oh, she was a sweetie. She was just as wicked. The story in chapter 21, to save us time, right next to where the king lived was a vineyard that belonged to someone else, belonged to a man by the name of Naboth. And it had been in Naboth's family for generations. And one day, Ahab got to looking at that, and he said, man, that's a good vineyard. I'd like that. I'd like that for my own. Hey, Naboth, will you sell it to me? I'd be happy to give you what it's worth. Oh, no, King, I couldn't do that. It's been in my family for generations, and I want it for my children to be able to just pass this down. It just knocked the socks off of King Ahab that someone would tell him no. And he went home crying big crocodile tears. And Jezebel said, honey, what's wrong? Well, I want Naboth's vineyard, and he won't sell it to me. Honey, put your slippers on. Sit down in your recliner. Get a cup of coffee. And let your sweetheart take care of it for you. So we find here, verse 8 of 1 Kings 21. She wrote letters in Ahab's name, sealed them with the seal, sent the letters unto the elders and the nobles that were in this city, dwelling with Naboth. And she wrote in the letters, saying, proclaim a fast and set Naboth on high among the people. He's a good old boy. Now this is what Jezebel, and set two men, sons of Belial, before him to bear witness against him that he blasphemed God and the king, and carry him out and stone him that he may die. And the men of the city and the elders and the nobles who were inhabitants, they did as Jezebel had sent unto them, and as it was written in the letters which she had sent. And they proclaimed a fast and set Naboth on high. Hey, come celebrate Naboth Day. We've had St. Patrick's Day. Let's have Naboth Day. Come to the party. And there came in two men, verse 13. Two. Why did they need two? Remember what we read for our scripture reading this morning? You could not accuse someone and make it stick out of the mouth of only one witness. False witnesses, like there's safety in numbers. And Jezebel knew the law, and so two men of Belial, verse 13, came in, and they sat before him. And the men of Belial witnessed against him, even against Naboth, in the presence of the people, saying, Naboth did blaspheme God and the king. And they carried him forth out of the city, and they stoned him with stones that he died. There's a good illustration of the damage that false witnesses can, their testimony can cause much harm or injury. Their words are like a maul or a sharp sword or an arrow accurately placed from a distance. Any of them can be deadly. Words can bring about such consequences. Third, Proverbs chapter 12, verse 19, or C, I'm getting you all confused here, aren't you? A, B, C. Good thing you got your notes in front of you. Proverbs 12, 19. The lip of truth shall be established forever, but a lying tongue is but for a moment. You know what this is saying? Their story often changes if it's a false story. But you know, if a witness is telling the truth, isn't it interesting that truth never changes? Isn't that something? That's exactly what it says. The lip of truth shall be established forever. Doesn't matter whether you tell it today, next week, next month, next year. The lip of truth is established. Truth is always the truth. But if they're lying about something, there's a good chance their story is going to get tweaked and it's going to be changed and it's not going to continue to be consistent. Hey, while we're here, I'd like you to back up and start at verse 17 through 20. He that speaketh truth showeth forth righteousness. That's the right thing to do, to speak the truth. But a false witness, deceit. There is that speaketh like the piercings of a sword. But the tongue of the wise is health. We talked about that piercing sword, didn't we, in that previous reference? The lip of truth shall be established forever, but a lying tongue is but for a moment. Deceit is in the heart of them that imagine evil, but to the counselors of peace is joy. We find, as we read in our scripture reading this morning, the second thing I want you to note, we looked at number one, the problems or damage caused by a false witness. Number two, God's process to protect against it is the scripture we read for our scripture reading this morning. Deuteronomy chapter 19, 15 through 21. Do you know that in our Lord's day that process was still being followed? When our Lord was on trial, you see, the law said, you've got to have more than one witness. One witness cannot result in capital punishment for someone. You gotta have more than one. And if you only got one on one, God's process was bring the accuser and the accused, let them stand before the priests and both present their story. And whatever the priest determines from the Lord, that's how the matter will be settled. And if the Lord directs the priest to discover that you're lying about this guy, God's process was, there in Deuteronomy, whatever this false one intended to happen to the innocent one, it's going to happen to him instead. Since it was determined you're lying about this, and the Lord, we saw in verse 21, doesn't matter. Eye for eye, tooth for tooth, limb for limb, foot for foot, whatever it was. And as I said, wouldn't it be something if in our courts today we would see in our court system the desire to find the truth and punish the ones who are bringing the false charges. What's that have to do with our Lord? Turn with me, if you would, to Matthew chapter 26. When our Lord had been brought to the authorities and Pilate was trying to get to the bottom of things, in Matthew 26, notice beginning at verse 59. Now the chief priests and elders and all the council sought false witness against Jesus to put him to death. But they found none, yea, though many false witnesses came, yet they found none. At the last came, here you go, what? Two false witnesses. That's what the law required in Deuteronomy. And they knew that's exactly what was needed there. And said, these two false witnesses came and they said, this fellow said, I am able to destroy the temple of God and build it in 3 days. And the high priest arose and said unto him, aren't you going to say something? Why are these witnesses saying this against you? What have you got to say for yourself? But Jesus held his peace. No need to respond to that which was false, was there? He wasn't talking about this temple, the bricks and the stones. What was he talking about? Destroy this temple, my body, and in 3 days I'll rise again. But he wasn't going to waste his breath to explain it to the unbelievers. So we see God's process to protect against it. Sadly, it doesn't seem to be followed anymore, does it? Certainly not in our land. Well, we've seen the problems or the damage caused by a false witness, and we've seen God's process to protect against it. Let's notice here, in conclusion, the third point, the potential regarding our words or our witness. The potential. Turn with me, if you would, to Proverbs chapter 18. Proverbs chapter 18. How important are our words? How important are the things that we say about, against, in relation to someone? It's interesting, Solomon's description of this. In Proverbs 18, verse 21, he said, "Death and life are in the power of the tongue." That's frightening. Our words can cause someone to lose their life if we lie against them. Or our words can spare their life. Death and life are in the power of the tongue. That's why God so hates a false witness. A false witness. Look at Proverbs chapter 14. Proverbs 14, verse 5, he says, "A faithful witness will not lie, but a false witness will utter lies." As we said long ago at the early part of our message, a false witness has no integrity. They have no concern whether what they are saying is right or not. Doesn't matter to them. Their heart is wicked above all things. And it's desperately evil, isn't it? Hey, does anybody have any clue where these old false witnesses come from? We find that it is a part of our old evil nature. Our old evil nature. It comes from our hearts. Since it comes from the old evil nature, what's needed to change it? They need the Lord. And the Lord can save anyone who would call upon Him to save them from their sins. And if a man be in Christ, he is a new creature. Someone who has had a problem with lying and coming up with all kinds of false stories about others, the Lord can change that. Praise the Lord. False witness, a faithful witness will not lie, Proverbs 14:5, but a false witness will utter lies. Look at verse 25. We're looking at the potential, this third point. Verse 25, a true witness does what? Delivers souls. A true witness delivers souls, but a deceitful witness speaketh lies, and many times it results in the harm or injury to the innocent one. Boy, what do you think about those people that devise these stories, bring these accusations, these false witnesses that speak lies that are so damaging, so harmful? You like them? I don't think we do, do we? I'd like in closing to just show you that their day is coming. Their day is coming. They think they're getting away with it. What do you mean their day is coming? Look in Proverbs 19, verse 5. A false witness shall not be unpunished, and he that speaketh lies shall not escape. Look at verse 9. A false witness shall not be unpunished, and he that speaketh lies shall perish. Beloved, their day is coming. We may not be able to prevent people from devising lies against us, against our character, and all we can do is maintain truth. All we can do is look to the Lord and turn it over to the Lord. Lord, you know my heart. You know my life. You know that what they are saying about me is not true. And I'm trusting you and your word because you say they're not going to escape. You're going to deal with them in your way, in your time. How important it is for us that know the Lord as our own personal Savior, that the words we speak be words of truth concerning other people. I don't care if somebody has called upon you to speak some words against someone you can't stand. You still need to speak the truth. Don't lower yourself to speak lies against them. They may be your greatest enemy, but speak the truth. May that be true of us. Everything we say, everyone we speak words concerning, may we never stoop so low as God's own that we resort to becoming a false witness against anyone. Let's close in prayer. Father, thank you for your word this morning. Thank you again for this passage of Scripture in Proverbs, and we just think about how powerful our words can be. Life and death in the power of the tongue. Lord, may we glorify you. You are the true God. Your words are true. Your ways are true. And you desire truth in the inward parts of us. May we be obedient children of yours for your glory. We thank you now in your name we pray. Amen.